This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. He waited until the last possible moment, but yesterday Phil Scott declined to sign a bill that would legalize recreational marijuana in Vermont.
We should know how we will detect and measure impairment on our highways, fund and implement additional substance abuse prevention education, keep our children safe and penalize those who do not, and measure how legalization impacts the mental health and substance abuse issues our communities are already facing. From my vantage point, S-22 does not yet adequately address these questions. Therefore, I am returning this bill to the legislature.
But marijuana legalization is like the Terminator. It just keeps coming after it's been basically declared dead over and over. And Governor Scott left a sliver of possibility for legalization to still emerge this year.
I'll be providing the legislature with recommended changes. And to be clear, if they are willing to work with me to address my concerns in a new bill passed during the veto session this summer, there is a path forward on this issue.
Here to talk a little bit more about how that might happen and what is going on in Montpelier is VPR's Peter Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Hey, I feel like we need a 24-hour news channel to keep people abreast of all the turns of screws in marijuana coverage.
No kidding. We thought that was just the national news, but apparently Vermont's going to have this too. So by now, has the governor actually vetoed that legislation officially?
He has indeed vetoed the bill, and he sent a lengthy veto message to the Secretary of the Senate laying out his concerns. That was yesterday. Phil Scott said, look, we cannot ignore the fact that lots of people already use marijuana. He said, we also can't ignore that more states, as well as Canada, are not just legalizing pot, but allowing for retail sale of this drug. But the governor says Vermont needs to have some baseline protections in place before we go down this road. And he says this legislation, as it's constituted right now at least, does not put those protections in place.
Okay, so he said this bill does not put those protections in place, therefore I cannot sign it. I mean, there was a lot of speculation about what the governor was going to do in that 5 days that he had the bill on his desk and had not yet said. But it's not really a surprise that he has these concerns. He has had them for several years. He has voiced them for several years. Nonetheless, he actually left the door open for marijuana legalization, as we've reported already. So given the concerns that he raised in declining to sign the bill, what would placate him and get him to sign a bill?
So I think it's important to delineate the two strains of thinking that the governor is bringing to this issue, and it became very clear what those two strains were yesterday, I think for the first time for a lot of people. And the reason that's so key here is because there are two very different legalization frameworks that are pondered in this legislation. The bill would initially and foremost legalize possession of up to an ounce of marijuana and also allow for small homegrown operations, but it keeps in place all criminal sanctions for sales of the drug. What the legislation does, though, is it establishes a commission to come back with recommendations for a taxed and regulated retail marijuana market, something akin to what we see in Colorado and Washington, where you have state-sanctioned growers and pot shops. And Phil Scott has very different views of what kinds of preventative precursors, say, need to be in place before you adopt either of these two frameworks. And he says, I'm a good libertarian. You want to smoke weed in your house, grow a couple plants. I'm good with that. I get it. And he says if lawmakers stiffen penalties for sale of marijuana to minors and make it a crime to smoke marijuana in a car when a child is president, then he's comfortable moving forward with that sort of do-your-own-thing approach to legalization where you can have it but you can't sell it. He says if we're going to turn this into a legal business though, then he wants to see better methods for detecting marijuana impairment, clear, measurable legal benchmarks for what constitutes marijuana impairment for DUI laws. He also wants more robust prevention and education efforts geared especially toward children. And Phil Scott says since this legislation has that commission to study the tax and regulate approach, the bill also needs to bring in a group of public health and public safety officials to study those issues of impairment, detection, and prevention. He says if lawmakers can do those things, then he'll sign off.
And does the legislature seem amenable?
Democrats certainly do. I talked to Senator Dick Sears and Representative Maxine Grad yesterday. They're the respective chairs of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees. Dick Sears says he was expecting an out-and-out veto with no proposal for compromise, and he said he was thrilled to hear that the governor is open to the idea and ready to work with legislators. Maxine Grad said basically the same thing, and she said she's eager to begin working with the governor's office right now to craft the language that Phil Scott needs to see in order for him to sign off.
But, Pete, they would have to suspend rules to make this all happen in a two-day veto session, right? Because they would have to basically recraft legislation or tack this wording onto a bill that hadn't made it through, and then also get into Phil Scott's changes. And that actually requires some cooperation. Is that actually likely to happen?
It would require cooperation. And of course, the sticking point there is it would require cooperation from a lot of Republicans. And the State House can be a weird place. It's tough to predict exactly what's going to happen. And sometimes people pull procedural rabbits out of their hats and make stuff work no matter. But Dick Sears says moving that bill through the legislative process in only 2 days is almost certainly going to require rule suspensions. And when I talked to House Minority Leader Don Turner yesterday, he's the guy that leads the Republican caucus in the House, he said it's incredibly unlikely that his 53-member caucus is going to go along with those rule suspensions. He says most of them are opposed to the bill on its merits, and he can't see why they would allow for procedural shortcuts to help it get into law if they could otherwise stop it. And if passage does indeed hinge on these rule suspensions, and there may be some other avenues where you could sidestep that, but if it does, then that could very well be the stumbling block that ends up derailing this thing.
In that case, though, then isn't the governor basically footing the blame, you know, sort of pushing it off on his own party in the legislature? Because if he's saying, look, if you can do all of these things, I'll sign it, and then Republicans in the legislature say we're not willing to suspend rules because we don't like this bill, you know, the governor can basically say, hey, guys, I tried to find a compromise, and it's the Republicans who wouldn't do it, not my fault. It seems very weird to do that to your own party.
Well, let's take those in order. First, the idea of why didn't the governor say exactly what he was concerned about before they passed this thing. Phil Scott says, look, I didn't think it was going to pass. Remember that the House and Senate were still very much split on this legalization proposal right up until the very end of the session. And it was only because adjournment was delayed as a result of that budget impasse we've been talking so much about that this bill made it to the governor's desk in the first place. The other thing is the reality is Phil Scott doesn't think this is a priority. He doesn't think right now is the right time for this. And I don't think there's reason for anyone to have thought that he would have been studying carefully the language as it was coming out to see how he could make it better. The other question is kind of a political one, right?
And but in that case, Pete, why not just veto it without leaving this door open, without saying, look, if you change it this year, just veto it. We know it's going to come up again next year. It's not like this is a subject that's not going to rear its head again.
Well, you know, it may or it may not rear its head again. Bringing up a marijuana legalization bill sucks enormous oxygen out of the building in Montpelier. And there are a lot of lawmakers, Democrats who supported this bill among them, who don't want to go through that again. It's also going to be an election year. That complicates the equation for a lot of people. And so I don't think it's a done deal that we would see a legalization proposal resurface in 2018 if this thing does fall apart in the end.
Okay, so it may not rear its head, but then I interrupted you because you were saying, you know, so there's the politics here as well.
Yeah, and as we all know, marijuana legalization is a politically fraught issue. And as the governor noted yesterday, his decision on whether to veto this or not was going to anger people no matter which way he went. And you can see how the option that he has landed on could have come out of a political playbook drafted by one of his political aides. He gets to look like a reasonable moderate showing a willingness to sign on to this thing, knowing full well, though, that because House Republicans likely aren't going to suspend rules, they offer this rock-solid backstop to keep this thing from going anywhere, even if he does sort of open this door, which means he gets to have it both ways. I don't know whether that was part of the strategy that was hatched in some backroom meetings in the governor's office. One thing Phil Scott did say, though, is he's not going to be twisting any Republican arms to try to get them to allow a vote on this bill if Phil Scott and lawmakers can find consensus.
Well, why would he if what he essentially wants is for the bill to die?
That's a good question. And you know, the question is, do you take Phil Scott at his word? He says, look, I can get behind this Washington, D.C. style legalization. I get it. He says, I know people who smoke pot. They aren't bad people. Privacy your own home. Do what you will if you're not hurting anybody else. Maybe Phil Scott really believes that, thinks this is going to come back one way or another. Let's get this thing settled now so I don't have to be talking about it for the next three election cycles.
All right. Well, Pete Hirschfeld, I'm afraid you are probably going to be talking about it for a long time to come.
No doubt.
We will look forward to speaking with you again on this. VPR's Peter Hirschfeld. Thanks.
Yeah, good to be with you.